Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Once again, that number to call up is 888-623-3646. That is the number to call into the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. And you want to send in your voicemail messages, just go to SiriusXM.com/Get Serious. That's SiriusXM.com/Get Serious. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. Got a couple of HBCU coaches coming on. Got Vic Schaefer, the star basketball coach for the University of Texas women's basketball. They got the number two ranked team in the nation. They're undefeated right now. Love talking. Looking forward to talking to him. Of course, there's some NFL stuff to get into. Make no mistake about it. But breaking news, as of right now, ex-Michigan coach Sharon Moore, who was recently fired by Michigan, Michigan as the head football coach for the University of Michigan, after what was termed to be an inappropriate relationship was discovered. Evidently, according to numerous reports, it was with an executive assistant, obviously messing with a subordinate, has cost him his job. He's 39 years of age. He's a former offensive coordinator that helped Jim Harbaugh capture a national championship in Michigan a couple of years ago. And he was that offensive coordinator. He is also an individual that is 39 years of age. He's married. He has three children, younger than 7 years of age. And he finds himself in this situation. Nevertheless, the breaking news is that he's been charged with third-degree home invasion, stalking, and breaking and entering, or entering without breaking. He was detained by police in Saline, Michigan, hours after he was fired for cause by Michigan after the school said it found evidence of an inappropriate relationship with the staffer. So he's been officially charged. That is the situation right now. And it's just incredibly, incredibly sad. And, you know, we're learning more and more. You're seeing pictures of his wife. You're seeing pictures of the alleged mistress. You're hearing about him. The question that repeatedly has been asked is, you know, stupid, stupid, stupid. How do people find themselves in this position? How do men find themselves in this position? Ladies and gentlemen, sex is undefeated. Somebody got to say it, so I'm going to say it. Sex is undefeated. I can't tell you how many times we find ourselves looking at precarious, insane, utterly ridiculous positions that men find themselves in, and almost always it's over a woman. And that's not to blame the woman. I'm blaming the guy. I'm just saying that almost always it's been that way. And so this is not new. It's unfortunate because he had a $14 million buyout. That goes away. He was earning about $5.6 million in salary. That goes away. We can lament how stupid, how idiotic it is for him to find himself in this situation, to blow his whole career and all of that stuff. But when you hear thoughts of suicide or whatever, you know, the incompassionate or, you know, the skeptic amongst us will sit up there and say that's a way to garner sympathy and gain attention sympathetically and empathetically, because you don't want to deal with the noise that you've created because of your immature and irresponsible actions. My thing is that once you heard the word suicide and whatever, and somebody's contemplating taking their own life and potentially that of somebody else, you get very, very worried. And the most important thing is reminding him that, you know what, the chances are you're not going to stay in jail. Chances are you'll be able to get off on your own recognizance, or you have to pay a fine or something like that, because nobody's been harmed physically, that is, at this particular moment in time, and you're 39 years of age. You've got a life to live. I don't think he'll ever get a head coaching job again. And I certainly don't think that, you know, even as an offensive coordinator, he'll get a job at a big time university. I think these kind of activities ultimately come back to haunt you. Now, Rick Pitino, he's resurrected his career. Bobby Petrino, not necessarily, you know, I don't know what he's doing these days. Hugh Freeze, don't know what he's doing these days. They were in situations like that at Louisville, Arkansas, and Ole Miss, if I remember correctly, respectively, that is. But it is what it is. that's the situation that Sharon Moore is in. He's been charged, and that's what it is. That's what it is. It's just sad. But right now, I'm thinking about the kids, and I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, they're going to need their daddy, and somehow, some way, he's going to have to find a way to resurrect himself. And if not resurrect his career in football, resurrect his life. Because obviously, you know, I think it's safe to say nobody would want to be him right now, especially once he gets out of jail and he has to go home to the wife and the mother of three kids and find a way to explain how he found himself in this kind of situation. So there's no envy there. I can tell you that much. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. I'll get back to your phone calls in a minute, but let's get to some football, some professional football, because it's a big-time week. And make no mistake about it, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff to discuss in the National Football League this weekend. I'm interested in seeing what Green Bay does in Denver. I'm interested in seeing what, if anything, does Baltimore have left, you know, with what they've got on their schedule. There's a lot of things to discuss about the NFL this weekend with the games coming up. Make no mistake about it. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. But I got to tell you, for some teams, it's a reason to be exciting. Is this the end for Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and the Kansas City Chiefs? If the playoffs were to begin today, they wouldn't be in it. They've got a chance in some people's eyes still. But the Kansas City Chiefs host a home game this Sunday against the Los Angeles Chargers. We don't know what's going to happen there. Buffalo is going up against New England in Foxborough. That's going to be interesting. What kind of message is New England going to send? Are they ready to claim the AFC East? They bust Baltimore, Buffalo up their first go round. Stephon Diggs, a former Buffalo Bill, had about 10 or 11 receptions for 146 yards. What's that going to be like? We got to wait and see that. So that's going to be really interesting to touch on. But what's Drake May going to do? Who's going to be the coach of the year? Is it going to be Vrabel or Ben Johnson? What's Chicago going to do? Again, what's Shedeur Sanders going to do against Chicago? In Chicago, where the temperature is expected to be like 10 degrees, it's supposed to feel like 2. It's with the wind chill factor added to that. Even in the city of Chicago, historically bad weather this time of year, it's anticipated to be maybe the absolute worst conditions to play a football field under in Chicago's history. I don't know if that's true or not, because I remember the Fog Bowl and stuff like that, but it's going to be pretty bad. So all of those things are things that you have to think about. All of those things are things that you have to contemplate. I can't wait for Sunday night when the Detroit Lions visit the Los Angeles Rams. I think that's going to be incredibly compelling and interesting. We'll see what's going to happen with that as well. There's a lot to look at too. And oh, by the way, Thursday night football and Tampa looking the way that it looked and losing the game that it lost. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to put in perspective the state of affairs that exists. And Sean, you know what I'm going to call for. I'm going to call for Todd Bowles talking to his team or talking to the media last night after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost this game. Let me know when you have that sound so I can play it for our audience, because I got news for y'all. Forget about what I'm going to say. We know that Tampa Bay lost the game 29-28 to the Atlanta Falcons. We know that Kyle Pitts Sr. looked like the greatest tight end that ever played football, the way he was busting their living ass, okay? We know that Kirk Cousins, off the scrap heap, having been benched last year in favor of Michael Penix Jr., and what, with the $100 million contract, what Kirk Cousins wasn't able to manufacture as a quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. He goes out on the field last night, and look what he does against them. 373 yards, 30 of 44. 3 touchdowns, not a single interception, and only sacked once. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield gets sacked 5 times. He throws 2 touchdowns and an interception. You're wondering what the hell is going on. Mike Evans was back in the lineup, okay? You've got Igbuka and the rest of the crew. You still need Godwin and all of this stuff, but the bottom line is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their defense coached by Todd Bowles, this is supposed to be looking like they looked last night. Nevertheless, with a 28-14 lead in the fourth quarter, they lost this game. Tampa Bay had Atlanta in like a 3rd-and-28 situation. And Atlanta ended up getting a first down. One throw to Pitts and another to Sills. I mean, you got to be kidding me. That's not what we anticipate from a Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. But nevertheless, it's what we've seen. And now they've gone from being one of the top teams in the NFL. If Carolina wins, then guess what? You got a situation where they're in first place. Now, they play them twice over the last 4 weeks of the season. So Tampa Bay still controls its own destiny at this particular moment in time. And the Panthers do have a game against Seattle, if I remember correctly, which one would anticipate they'd lose. But I got news for you. It's not good. Not by a damn sight. It's not good for Tampa Bay to find themselves in this situation. And if you don't believe me, listen to their coach, Todd Bowles, and what he had to say, because he is not a happy man. Listen to this.
It's inexcusable. You don't make excuses. You got to care enough where the shit hurts. You got to care enough where the shit hurts. It got to mean something to you. It's more than a job. It's your livelihood. How well do you know your job? How well can you do your job? Well, you can't sugarcoat that shit. It was inexcusable, and there's no answer for it. There's no excuse for it.
I've known Todd Bowles for years. Haven't spoken to him in a while, but I've known him since he's been a coach with the New York Jets. And I know people in the NFL that have known Todd Bowles for decades. We've never, ever heard him talk like that. He doesn't talk like that. Not privately, not publicly. He doesn't talk like that. One could easily argue that's a coach feeling the heat. That's a coach sensing that his job is on the line. And my point is, I don't blame him if he does feel that way, because it's got to be on the line. If you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what are you supposed to feel like if your team had a 28-14 fourth quarter lead at home and you end up losing for the fifth time in six games after a 6-2 start? What is anybody supposed to feel when you've lost back-to-back home games and they were to New Orleans, who's going nowhere, and Atlanta, who's going nowhere? What are you supposed to feel when Kyle Pitts shreds you for 11 catches, 166 yards? Did y'all know that Pitt became the first tight end with at least 150 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns in a game since Hall of Famer Shannon Sharp did it in 1996? Did you know that? Bijan Robinson had 175 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown. Where's the defense for that? And I told you about Cousins completing pass of 14 yards to Pitts and 21 yards on a 4th-and-14 to David Sills to set up the game-winning field goal. You're looking at Tampa Bay right now. What the hell? Where's the defense? See, in Texas, with D'Amico Ryans, you have a head coach who became a head coach because he was a stout defensive coordinator. So he's living up to his signature, and you truly, truly appreciate that because that's what you want to see. What you don't want to see is a coach get a head coaching job, and then the very thing that enabled them to get a head coaching opportunity because of what they were elite at suddenly evaporates and disappears and you can't find it. You can't have it. D'Amico Ryans has the Houston Texans defense looking like one of the top defenses, if not the top defense in the National Football League. Todd Bowles has been renowned for his defensive brilliance as a coordinator, but you're the head coach now and this team can't stop anybody. What the hell is going on? It's not good. It's not good at all. So there's a lot to say about that. And I'm going to get to the phones right now a little bit early to make sure I do that with y'all. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call. It's 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. To the phones we go. Let's go to Warrior in Texas. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, man?
Stephen A., been following your career back before your ill-fated television show, which I quite frankly thought was pretty good. But the take that you just had on Moore was the absolute weakest take you have ever had.
Okay.
I don't give a damn about him. I don't care what you can say about the P word being undefeated. It's undefeated if you're weak. Stalking is a serious charge. Entering her home after she had already gone to the university is a serious charge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to say anything about adultery because you know, people who live in glass houses shouldn't cast from stone, but I'm 6'4" right now, so that phase of my life is beyond me. I don't care about him. I care about her.
Time out. I'm listening to you, Warrior. I didn't hang up. Can you hear me? I'm listening to you.
Oh, I can hear you. I need to slow down a little bit.
All right, let me say this to you. You just finished saying, I want you to consider a point that you just made. And you could call my take weak. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm not offended by that because maybe it was. Maybe you needed me to come out and be more engaged, more for condemnation. Maybe I wouldn't, maybe I would be more of that way if I didn't hear words like suicide being uttered and stuff like that. So I'm thinking about certain things and I don't want to go there. But I will say this to you. You just finished saying people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, but you're 64. So that's beyond you, right? Did you just say that? Did you just say that, sir?
Yes, I did. But
okay,
I've
okay. Hold on. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying that, okay, that's fine. He's 25 years younger. I'm not excusing him. What he did was inexcusable. What he did can't be excused in any way. Married with three kids? What the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? And then messing with a subordinate at that? And then violating your contract where you know that is exactly the kind of thing that causes for an automatic dismissal with cause? What the hell is wrong? It was a dumb, stupid, irresponsible, selfish thing to do. There is no doubt about that. What I'm saying, however, is there's no but to it. But when you hear you're 39, you got three kids under 7 years of age, and the brother's thinking about ending his life because this is how horrible it's been for him and stuff like that. All I chose to do was watch my tone because I'm talking about something incredibly serious and there are other family members that are going to be affected by all of this, not just him. So that's why I chose to address it that way in terms of the tenor that I used. But I don't disagree with what you say in terms of your concern is really not about him because he was incredibly irresponsible. And if I didn't hear the word suicide, maybe I would have felt the same way that you did. But my heart certainly goes out to his family because obviously they're going through some things right now that they don't deserve. Floor is yours, Warrior. Go ahead.
As a soldier, former soldier, or ex-soldier, whatever you want to say, I'm well aware of PTSD. I've had two soldiers commit suicide, so nobody wants that. Nobody wants that.
Okay.
You know, and he does need to seek some help, but I want to see that same passion when you talk about Art Briles, who did far less. You're talking about maybe he'll be an offensive coordinator.
Oh, but time out with Art Briles. Did you know that I brought Art Briles on national? Do you know that I brought RG3 on First Take raving about Art Briles and what Art Briles meant to him and how people make mistakes, but they deserve second chances and stuff like that? Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that, but I will add this, that I watched RG3 play at Cocker's Cove High School, so I got to see that kid play for a long time. I think injuries.
I'm just saying. I'm just talking about the compassion element. I'm just saying to you that, listen, you heard me talk about John Gruden and how egregious his mistake was, but it shouldn't be a death sentence, and everybody deserves a second chance. I'm not talking about that with Sharon Moore right now. I didn't say that, but what I'm trying to say to you is that I do actually have a history of being compassionate. You know, I'll call it like I see it, but certain things come with compassion. In this case, my compassion goes to his family more so than him. I'm just saying there's a heightened level of sensitivity because of what we're talking about. But I have to go, Warrior. I appreciate the call, and I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you so much, man. Let's go to Dan in Dallas. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Dan? Talk to me.
What's up, Stephen A.?
Yep. What's up?
Do you think that the Bucs should fire Bowles and bring back John Gruden?
I don't want to say that. I want to give Bowles a chance. But he, you know, they've lost four of their last five, and how they've been playing as of late is inexcusable, even though they've had a plethora of injuries. Remember, Evans was out for a while. Godwin has been out. Ibuka went down. Bucky Irving, he's gone down in the past as well. So you've had some injuries. But the bottom line is, like even Todd Bowles himself said, some things are just absolutely positively inexcusable. In terms of bringing John Gruden back, that's a tough call. Because I'm about the land of second chances, and I don't mind him being back as a head coach in the NFL, but you do wonder why would it need to be something like Tampa or something like even the Raiders, as horrible as they are, you know, be in a different situation as opposed to the one that he's comfortable in. But I guess if you put it the way that you put it and you need a coach and you're the Buccaneers and you want somebody that you're familiar with and somebody that you have some love for, because clearly as an organization, they still have love for John Gruden. He was just there when they were celebrating the team a few weeks ago. I can understand that would be a reasonable take, but I will tell you, I'm hopeful that Todd Bowles will survive and they won't need to make a coaching change.
Well, you got to remember, though, Bowles four seasons on the Jets. They didn't go to the playoffs one time. He didn't do anything with the Jets either.
Okay. Okay. Well, he, you know, listen, they did have a, they had a winning record one season, but I'm not going to blame any coach for the cesspool that is the New York Jets organization. Tampa is a different animal. Of course, there are expectations that come with the job, and you got to deliver the goods. And if you don't deliver the goods, it is what it is. You know, Bruce Arians come there. He, you know, he did his thing. All right. You, Todd Bowles, you got to do your thing. And if you don't do your thing, they got to get somebody else up in there that does. That's the business that we're living in. He understands that. I understand that. I know you understand it, which is why you asked the question, Dan, and you're not off for asking it at all. I can't tell you you're wrong. I can't.
Like Arians, too. I did like Arians.
Yes. All right, man. Take it easy. Appreciate the call. Anthony in L.A., you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Stephen A.
Talk to me.
Got cut off the other day. Just a couple quick points. I'm usually real quick. I just want to say this about Moore. Moore's 39 years old, man. I've been a criminal defense attorney for 25 years.
Yep.
He is what he's made a mistake that most men would make when it comes to the ability to procreate. So he's, this is just a job. I went to Michigan. It's just a job. I know it's prestigious and all that. But there's no need for him to think his life is over. There needs to be some compassion out there. There needs to be more understanding as to what's going on inside of people's minds. He's under tremendous stress. I'm not excusing what he's done. I'm not excusing. I'm just saying he made mistakes, and he's 39 years old, and now he has time to remit. So I'm going to leave that at that. I'll let you retort, and I just want to make a quick point about my Detroit Lions.
Go ahead.
What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they got a chance to upset the Rams this week?
I think they got a chance. I think your offense has to make things happen. You can't be neutralized by Sean McVay's defense. I can tell you that much. You're going to have to do some things because Los Angeles is going to find a way to put some points on the board. With Matt Stafford, with Devontae Adams, with Puka Nacua and those boys, they're going to find a way to put some points on the boards. And you're the Detroit Lions. Your offense is your engine. I mean, you got Jameer Gibbs out there playing as electric as he's been playing. He's been playing like the best running back in football this year. You got to give credit where credit is due, and they got to step up and handle their business. And if they don't, they're going to pay a price for it. It's really, really that simple. There's no way around it. They're going to have to figure that out. I do think they have a chance, though, because, you know, the Rams can make things interesting from time to time. A game a bit more interesting than you anticipated. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's the case with them. But I think with the weapons that they have, I think it's absolutely positively reasonable to expect that the Rams will win this game. But Detroit could make some noise. Detroit going on the road to beat the Rams, you know, they're playing for their playoff lives. They can't afford to lose any more games. The Rams can't afford to – the Rams can to make the playoffs. They can't afford to do it if they're going to win the division, but they can afford a loss. The Lions are a bit more desperate. Right now they're on the outside looking in with an 8-5 record. They got to make some noise. They got to win this game. It's just that simple. And so I think that they can pull something off, but we got to see it to believe it. 888-MAD-DOG-6, that's 888-623-3646. More of your calls in a minute. Plus, who's your Heisman choice? Who's your Heisman choice? Mendoza, Pavia, you know, that's just to name a couple of guys. It's four of them. They're four finalists. We'll talk about them and more in a minute. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.